Elizabeth Evans, and I'm a homeschooling mom of four young kids. I'm figuring this out as I go, but I'm here to talk to Bonnie, who has been writing and speaking on the subject for over a decade and has been homeschooling for three decades.
My name's Bonnie Landry. I've got seven kids. They're ages 13 to 33. I've been homeschooling for 29 years. I'm a wife, a mom, a grandma. I'm a speaker and a writer, and I'm an advocate of joy. So we're here to provide this podcast so that homeschooling can look like you imagined it to be. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. Yeah. This is our last sad week. Well, it's sad in two ways because one, my sons are all gone now, and two, my daughter has one more week, but we're going to make the most of it. It's supposed to be beautiful here. So
yeah, that's great. It's been getting really nice here in Michigan. I think the high is like 75 today, which is perfect.
Nice.
So yeah. And we've been getting tons of rain and thunderstorms now. And I'm like, where were you earlier in the summer when it was so hot?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Okay, weather, explain thyself.
Right, right. Okay. Well, today is a very fun topic. We're going to talk about faith and spirituality and how to incorporate that into...
Right. This comes up a lot, right?
Yeah. It's a struggle. Mm-hmm. Because I know my husband and I kind of our faith, like life, how often we pray, it kind of ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. And we also, like, as a family, go through seasons where we'll pray the rosary nightly, and then all of a sudden we'll have a couple bumps in, like, you know, an event or something, and then we lose the habit for
right, and then you forget for 3 weeks or yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah,
I know.
My oldest really struggles at prayer. He doesn't love it. And I understand that. I remember, you know, the struggle as a kid, like, I don't want to go to mass. It's boring. You just sit there. And, you know, this is, I think it's prudent to realize and understand this from a kid's perspective, because mm-hmm. we, as adults, we recognize the beauty in the sacraments and in the mass. And even as an adult, sometimes I have a hard time just sitting, you know, in church.
Yeah, exactly. And we get distracted.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, we really have to sort of come alongside that for sure.
Yes. So lately I'm in a season where my prayer life feels like it's at a good place. And I've been praying the rosary nightly, through this app called the Lux University app. It's, created by Leah Darrow. And it's for women to log on. They can have prayer requests. There's courses that you could study in Mary, and there was a book study. It's really cool. Check it out. But one thing they
What's
do
it called again?
Yeah. Lux U.
Okay.
Let me show for people on YouTube. This is what the app looks like. If it's gonna
focus. Okay. Okay, so maybe we can put the link to it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, yeah. So one thing they do is a nightly rosary, and it's at 9 p.m. Eastern, and so I've been joining in with that, and it's a Zoom call, but you don't have to turn on your mic or camera.
Right.
And so I've been praying it for a couple months now, and my daughter always joins in.
Right.
She steals my rosary, climbs all over me. And it's really, I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But my son, who just turned 6, got a watch for his birthday. And the last couple nights, he's been coming downstairs after he's been in bed for an hour. And he's come to pray the rosary with me.
Aww.
And I asked him yesterday, I said, Henry, how do you know that, you know, that's what I'm doing down here? And he goes, he held up his watch and he pointed to it and he goes, it's after 9. He figured out that at 9 o'clock I start the rosary, and
right.
he, you know, so my husband and I are thinking he's just up in bed, just continually checking the time. And he comes down and he prays with me.
Wow. And
so I just want to share that story because I have one son that really struggles, and I have another son who wants to be a part of prayer when he can.
Yeah.
And some people might think it's just him trying to stay up later, which I'm not going to fault him for that because I'm getting him to pray.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, it could be like, I think a child is can be more inclined to want to pray and see the value in it. And sometimes it's also a season, right? At a particular stage in their life, they're just more sort of tuned in to prayer, and you know, they might go through a phase where they, you know, that sort of fades away, and it's more, it's a little more something we have to bring them along a little bit more. While we're on that topic of rosary and kids, I have a funny story to tell you. My son, who's now an adult, one time when he was little, he was maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8, and we were sitting around and we were praying rosary, and he was looking at the crucifix on the rosary, and he was kind of looking and looking. I could see him really studying it. And he said to me, "Mom, is this Jesus or one of the thieves?" So that led to a lot of, you know, jokes over the years.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I have one more story, and it's not even mine. It's my husband's, because his family has always been really good about praying the rosary at night as a family. Right. And when his brother, so he's one of five. So when his third, the third after him, was really small, they were praying the rosary and he was just messing around. And he was, I guess he had this ball and he kept trying to like throw it in the fire at their fireplace. And, at one point he caught on that he's not supposed to throw it. So he went to like hand it to the fire. And so the whole family just started laughing. Like, he wasn't close enough to burn himself or anything, but it was just like, okay, here, fire, take it. And so they were all just laughing. And Tim's aunt, my husband's aunt, lived with them at the time, and she had just gotten home and sees them trying to pray the rosary and laughing. And she figured out it's because my husband's brother. So she kind of scooped him up to take him out of the room, and she turned around and just said, "Heathens," and left.
Oh, you know, I'm just going to say this actually for the sake of, I have a lot of listeners who are Protestant and a lot of listeners who are secular. So I'm assuming that my secular listeners are probably not listening to this podcast anyways. Yeah. For those who don't know what a rosary is, some, most people have heard of a rosary, but you might, if you don't know what it is. So the rosary is sort of a set of formal prayers as opposed to, you know, informal prayer that like, that we're not using, you know, memorized prayer, and we meditate on the mysteries of the life of Christ during the rosary. And we use beads to meditate with, because something tactile helps you to meditate, mm-hmm. right? So you're praying with beads and you're praying on the events of Christ's life. So anyway, just for clarity, if anyone's listening who doesn't really know what a rosary, the last time, I don't know if it came up in an early episode that we did where we talked about the rosary, and one of our listeners texted me and said, what is a rosary? What do you do? What do you, so I thought, anyway, I should probably clarify that.
Yeah. We can't assume. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So well, now after those
questions, right?
Yeah. After those stories, let's get into it. So the first one, is from a listener, and she wants to know, how do you include prayer and spirituality during the school day? And have you ever been able to attend daily mass with your kids?
Right. Okay. So because at the beginning of my homeschool journey, I was also a new convert, a new Catholic, and had really poor formation coming into the church. Right. So we didn't have a great foundation to go into this with. So we were learning a lot. So that's changed a lot about how we've, how that's rolled out over the years has changed a lot. So in the early years, definitely I didn't go to daily mass. We lived rurally. I wasn't close to a church. And I remember feeling really overwhelmed by sort of reading Catholic books, where women who, you know, families who were really entrenched in their Catholic life and had a much better foundation than I did, were talking about praying the rosary as a family, all the things they did together in prayer as a family, going to daily mass, and being completely overwhelmed by the idea of that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was definitely a point of stress for me. And I think for young moms too, with a bunch of kids, you know, or a few little kids and no big kids, that can be a really stressful idea, is, you know, what I have to do, kind of putting an expectation on yourself that I have to be doing X, Y, or Z, or I'm not you know, a good standing member, right?
Right, right.
You know, I'm not being a good disciple. And so, first of all, I think we have to let go of that idea and really decide what works for us, as opposed to, I don't think our Lord ever wanted us to be stressed uh-huh. about our prayer life, right? All that we, however we engage with Him, and we should always, all our life, be working towards making that better and fuller and drawing closer to God. But I think that, you know, He would not want us to be stressed about it. But anyway, so years ago, I went to this priest who somebody had recommended to me as a for spiritual direction. So, and I was kind of pouring my heart out to him and saying, you know, I'm so stressed out because I'm not very good at this. And I'm only able to do this. And he said, how many children do you have? And I had my baby with me. And I said, this is my fourth. And he said, oh, you know, you're doing God's work. You know that, right? And he said, just, you know, baby steps. Take this a tiny bit at a time. Don't worry about daily mass right now. He just said, that'll come, right? But he said, you know, right now, pray with your children, pray so that you can be a good mom to your children, pray with your husband, you know, work on your prayer life in little ways, just little short aspirations, and, you know, and know that you will grow into this, right? Mm-hmm. And it was one of the most beautiful things ever said to me. And of course, he acknowledged that it was a good and beautiful thing to go to daily mass and to pray the rosary, which all those things are good and right. beautiful, but you know, don't be stressed out about it. And, you know, last summer I bumped into this priest. So this is going back, the son that was the baby at the time was 20, he's 23 now. So this is going back a lot of years. Yeah. And I bumped into him and I said, you know, you are a man who made such a difference in my life because I was so stressed out. And I just want to say thank you for giving me that gift of being able to relax and know that God will lead me where He wants to lead me.
Yeah.
All in due season. And he was so grateful for kind of that feedback, you know. Yeah. So that was a lovely opportunity for me. So that's basically what I started doing is like, okay, I need first a foundation to build on, right? The same way we start, you know, educating our kids, we first start with something very, very small. Mm-hmm. So for us, that meant kind of punctuating the day with prayer. And we started that with mealtime. Right? Okay. So, you know, say grace at meals and then add something else on a morning offering, mm-hmm. right? Or an act of faith. And then say grace at lunchtime. And maybe we add on Hail Mary for one of our, one of our kids or somebody we know who needs it. You know, and then saying prayers together as a family at night, right? Mm-hmm. And we started off really small. You know, if we could say 5 minutes of prayer, that was, or 1 minute of prayer, that was better than trying to, you know, address a half an hour of prayer with our kids when they were sure. little and squirmy and climbing all over us. You know, so those were, and then you could build on those things. And so that's how it's really looked for us over the years, is that those little punctuations of prayer, mm-hmm. You know, as a family, have just grown, and they've generally spun off of mealtime, right, or bedtime.
Yeah, right.
The other thing I would say is that there's different layers of your prayer life, and I think that's really important to address in the same way. But there's your family prayer, there's your prayer as a couple, and there's your prayer as an individual, right? And we need to be addressing all those things. Right. And I would say all of those things need to start off with some very, very small foundation, and then you build from there.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I'd agree. One thing I do is I've been praying, so the rosary at night and then the prayer of humility.
I love that prayer. Oh my gosh, we should include that in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. It is. And I need it because I feel like I rely too heavily on acceptance and like approval and like validation, and that can be really
without guilt,
right? Right.
To be humble without guilt,
you know? Right? Right. Yeah. So, anyway, that's a great one. And I think also, as I've noticed, is when I have if I'm working on my prayer life, my kids see that, and then mm-hmm. you know, like the example of my son wanting to join me. You know, mm-hmm. they'll come and follow.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing as a parent, and the age range that kids grab their own prayer life really varies. In our family anyways, it's really varied a lot.
Yeah.
And it surprises me sometimes because, you know, one of my kids will sort of say in passing, you know, and they might be 12 and they might be 15 or whatever. They'll say, you know, when I was praying my rosary and I was falling asleep last night, and I'll think, oh, you know, or I always pray my prayers when I'm having my shower, and you realize that they've grabbed it,
yeah.
You know, and what a gift that is as a parent, right? You know, that, sure. You know, that just the modeling of your own, the increase of your own spiritual life is caught, right?
Right.
You know, yeah. You know, so that's a lovely thing. And we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. Very sort of temperament based, right?
Yeah,
they have to see us addressing our own prayer life for sure.
Right. And I would have to say that with all this mess that is coronavirus and, you know, not being able to attend mass, you know, for the past couple months, one positive thing, and I heard this from one of my good friends too, is the ability to actually, you know, as mass is playing, you know, live streaming, my husband and I are able to actually explain, okay, this is what's happening now, you know, right. And here's what we're reading, and, you know, being able to really talk out loud and explain, because, you know, if you're not in mass and you're, you know, you're studying the catechism and everything, that kind of disconnect of not being able to really see what's going on and hearing the explanation, you know, we were given the grace to be able to really explain.
Really dive in.
Yeah.
I will say this. So I'm going to circle back to the original question about daily mass, because one of the things that I noticed when opportunities came up that I was going to daily mass, and we've never gone every day. We live rurally in a really tiny church. So often mass was only, offered a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
But when we went to daily masses, what I noticed that my children, because there was way less people there, mass was sort of a lot more, bare bones. You know, you might sing an entrance hymn, or not, you might have a homily or not. And so mass was very short. So they were, I would say, attending really well, but I would say the opportunity to learn more about what's actually happening was very clear, and learning how to sort of sit still and be attending,
sure.
Was going to daily masses really gave an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So even if it was only once a week, I found that their ability to attend on a Sunday mass was much greater than, you know, if we made the effort to go to one mass a week, you know, as the kids got older.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I can see that with COVID too. Another thing about COVID, I had been praying the, are you familiar with Magnificat? I thought I saw it on your, when you showed me your phone.
Yeah.
So Magnificat is a little magazine also available online as an app that has prayers through the day. And it's kind of a ramped down edited version of the Liturgy of the Hours, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, in the Catholic world, the Liturgy of the Hours are prayers, you know, usually in sort of monastic life or the priestly life, they're praying prayers in the morning, prayers mid-morning, prayers at noon, prayers in the evening, prayers at night. And they're set prayers, and they have different intentions for different days. And the Magnificat is kind of a layperson's sort of smaller, less time-consuming version of this as well as the daily mass readings. And so I had been doing the Magnificat for 2 or 3 months before COVID hit. And then I had been talking to my husband about it because I was really appreciating that structure of prayer. Mm-hmm. And so my husband and my daughter and I started praying the morning prayers together. So we'd make our coffee, we'd sit in the living room, and we'd say prayers before we poured coffee. So we established it again. You know, you're attaching it to something else, right? If you can attach new habits to something else, they are always way more successful. And what we found is that it's been such a blessing in our marriage to start our day with a really clear structure of prayer. We pray all our intentions. We pray these beautiful prayers provided in Magnificat. And what we've noticed is that I'm very much more aware of, like, what's on Albert's heart.
Yeah.
You know, and he's more aware of what's on my heart. And then the things that need to be prayed for are on my mind all day because we're praying them out loud in the morning.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so we've really appreciated that. And that's been a silver lining of COVID for us for sure.
Yeah. 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 I agree. It's weird that you can find the silver lining.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Worst I think of situations. Been many,
actually, but yeah.
Yeah.
For us for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did we address all of that question?
Yes, I think so. Okay. So I think to tie this into more of homeschooling atmosphere, right. What do you find is the best curriculum, so to speak, to teach our faith, our Catholic faith?
Well, I think there is absolutely nothing that teaches our Catholic faith better than living it.
Yeah.
And talking about it out loud with your kids.
Sure.
And I would say we have used different things for, you know, First Communion prep or confirmation prep to make sure that we're our kids have as full an understanding, that we haven't overlooked anything that we think is important to teach. But I think talking about our faith in a really, you know, loving, tender way is really our best opportunity. Mm-hmm. We also, you know, the sort of curriculum to, you know, for lack of a better word, that we've used the Faith and Life series as a teaching tool for faith things. Particularly, we've used the Baltimore Catechism, the little First Communion prep, right. Have been favorites in our household. They're quite beautiful. And they're old fashioned, but the kids seem to enjoy that.
Yeah.
We've used a lot of the little tiny books about teaching about saints, about prayer, about angels, different things. The little Father Lovasic books.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore. They're old fashioned books. And they're little tiny. They're really a booklet. Little tiny booklets, and there's dozens of them. And the priest's name is Father Lovasic, Lovasic. I'll put a link in the show notes on that. And he's so tender and so loving. And he just, his books are really beautiful and always sort of catechetical, always with the goal of teaching. He has one of the most incredible books I ever read as an adult. It was really pretty life-changing for me. And I'm going to have a hard time dredging up the name of it right now. The Hidden Power of Kindness.
Okay.
By Father Lovasic. And so it's written for adults. That's not a kid's book. And although, you know, if as a read aloud to older kids, it would be certainly appreciated. And it's absolutely stunning. And you realize reading it, why he has all those children's books that he has and why they're written the way they're written, because, you know, his mission is kindness, right?
Right.
So really beautiful. So those are some things we've used. There's also a series of, there really, really would kind of fall under the category of historical fiction. They are stories of lives of different saints. There's about 20 different books by author. Her name is Mary Fabian Windiatt. She's a Canadian author, actually, but they were written in about the 50s. Did you have those ones?
Well, I'm wondering if is it called Once Upon a Saint or something?
No. Okay. This is not, each one is a separate book.
Okay.
And they're a novel, and they're written very much in a novel format.
Okay.
But they are catechetical in nature. I learned so much about my faith reading them.
Okay.
And so they're done, and they're not preachy. They're just done in a very natural, organic kind of way, for a lack of a better word, that is really, I don't know, really grabs your attention. And some of them, there's about 20 books. Of the 20 book set, you can buy them individually or as a set. I would say some are written at a fairly young level, you know, that for early readers, kids who are just reading on their own. Some are written at a higher level, maybe for more 10, 11, 12 year olds. We almost always read them aloud, so it didn't really matter what age range, but my kids did read them on their own as well. Okay. But yeah, really, really beautiful. So they were definitely had a catechetical nature. There's some beautiful stuff put out by Catholic Heritage Curricula. Little Stories for Little Folks. We had a couple of those books that were just lovely stories about family life. And kind of growing as children, and learning virtue, you know, as children. The Book of Virtues, also really lovely book. And so the Book of Virtue is not a Christian-based book. It has a lot of Christian ideology in it and a lot of Christian stories and whatnot, you know, Bible stories and kind of sharing of different, the lives of different Christians, but also not Christian as well. So what that book does, for those who are unfamiliar, is it shares stories of virtue. It's categorized by virtue. And so within each virtue, it shares stories, like they might be from Greek mythology, they might be from scripture, they might be a story of a saint, they might be a story of, you know, some more modern person that was, you know, had some sort of heroic virtue. And you can share those stories to teach your child about that virtue.
Yeah.
And those are lovely books as well.
Okay. I was just, while you were talking, I thought of a couple. I think I often forget that curriculum doesn't necessarily mean specific books for teaching. Mm-hmm. And so when you were sharing other things, I kind of thought of a couple books that we have around our house. Again, for people on YouTube that can actually see, there's a book called Saints for Boys. It's put on by Newman Press. And it's very kind of old fashioned artwork. And it goes through a couple saints, like I think St. Aloysius is one of them, maybe St. Patrick, just saints for boys to kind of like, I guess, look up to, right? Which there are tons of them.
Yeah.
Their lives are told in very just simple, you know, verbiage. And then they also have the saints for girls too.
Right. Okay.
But then also another Newman Press book is Manners in God's House. We have this one. And it teaches some of, you know, just like the usual prayers, you know, the Hail Mary, Our Father. It has a little section that goes through the Mass. And it's just really simple and neat.
So the picture on that book reminds me, there's a little golden book that we had. I don't know what ever happened to it, but we had it for years and our older girls were just asking us about it. But the little book was called We Help Mummy. And it was this beautiful little story of two little kids and their mom and how she was going through her day, and she was very tender with them. And she was going through her day, you know, and they were, finding ways that they could help their mom, you know, and so really it's virtue training, right? To be considerate of the other, you know, and, you know, how you could kind of help to lighten their load. And it was a book that it was just so beautiful to me as a mom and really helped my kids be kind of called to the bar, right? It was not preachy at all, just sweet, sweet, sweet. And old fashioned, probably written in the 50s or 40s. So I'll try and see if that's available and put it in the show notes as well, because some of those really beautiful old golden books aren't available anymore.
Right.
So you go to look them up and they'll be, you know, $50 or something on a used book site, because the demand is high for them still.
Yeah.
So I'll see if that one is available. It was really sweet.
Yeah. There's actually, this is a side note, there's an Instagram account. I'll see if I can look it up. But what they do is they are trying to, I don't know if it's get signatures or raise money to bring old books back into print.
And, no way.
Yeah. And so they had a couple recently that they had posted, and I'll forget, but I'll see if I can figure out which account it is, and maybe we can share it so people can see some options for books that, you know, maybe even make suggestions. I don't know if that's something you can do, but anyway. Because it is really, there's tons of books. Like we've talked about Landscape with Dragons, and they have tons of book recommendations, but our library doesn't carry them and they're hard to find.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because a lot of these old books really do teach virtue better than books now.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, when you think about sort of more modern storybooks, I don't know if this came up in our last episode, I'm trying to remember now, but I had a friend who would go to the library. We talked in the last episode about going to the library, didn't we?
One of the last ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And this friend of mine would, her kids were allowed to take anything out that they wanted from the library. But when they brought it home, she would go through them and she would say, that's crap, we're going to put it back. And so she would put it on top of her fridge and they weren't allowed to read it. She would just label it, right? So if it was, you know, kids being rude to their parents or kids being rude to each other or kind of an acceptance of bad behavior or a glorifying even of bad behavior, whatever, that it was just garbage and we're not going to have it in our house. So,
right.
Yeah, but that's crap. Put it back.
Yeah. I love it.
I know. Call it what it is.
Okay. So any other things for, you know, curriculum,
no, that comes to mind
sources.
Right now. If I think of anything else after the show, I'll put it in the show notes as well. Okay. But those are the things that pop into my mind that we used quite a bit.
Right. Now you're the expert, but I will share what we do.
Please do.
We read, so for our schooling for the boys, we read, right now we're reading one like chapter from the Children's Illustrated Bible, specifically the New Testament.
Oh. I love that book.
Yeah.
That's another one I love that book.
Right. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. So we do that. Then we read the Saint of the Day. We have this book that a friend's mom gave us after we got married. And so some of the way it's written is definitely more for adults, but when I'm able to explain better, I do. But it's mostly just, I think, just my kids hearing and being aware of the different saints, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many, it's hard to keep track of what all of them did, but there's, there's some that'll stick out. Like we actually, St. Raymond Nonnatus, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Wow. I've never heard of him.
My husband and I lost two babies in between our first and our second. And we were attending the Fraternity of St. Peter's Latin Mass Parish.
Right.
And one thing that this specific parish in San Diego, St. Anne's, so if anybody is familiar, but the priest there at the time would give a special blessing for women who were expecting. And so I held on to this blessing. And when I lost my baby, when we lost our baby, we actually named the baby after St. Raymond.
Nice.
So the other day was actually his feast. I think it was August 30th. I could be wrong, but I was reading about it and I learned something new about him that I didn't know. And I think it was, he had his lips padlocked because of how he was spreading the faith. I'm pretty sure it's St. Raymond. I'm really embarrassed if I'm wrong. But
you can always correct that in the show notes. Don't worry.
Yeah, I could.
Or edit it out. You can.
right. But my point is that there are saints that I think I know about, and I always learn something new that I wasn't aware of. So.
Yeah. By the way, I was just interviewed a couple days ago again by Cameron. So we have an episode coming out, but you came up and we chatted for quite a while about you, actually.
I hope
you're featured. You're featured on that podcast. So
that's great. Yeah. We need to have Cameron on here at some point.
It's so true. Yeah, we totally should.
That would be so much fun.
That would be super fun. Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll ask her.
Yeah.
Well, she'll be listening, so she'll hear this anyway.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so, how are we doing?
Good. Well, I think we have time for maybe one more question.
Okay.
So I think this is a really kind of simple one, but it might be kind of loaded. Do you have any favorite prayers to share with others? Or prayers that you taught your children that, you know, as a family, you just collectively love?
Yeah. I mean, there's one really short prayer. And now that I'm trying to remember it, it's I'm probably not going to remember the whole thing. It's really short, but it's really beautiful. It's a prayer that we prayed with our family a lot, but also in times of need, it's something that I pray. And it's, Lord, we beg you to visit this house and banish from it all the deadly power of the enemy. May your holy angels dwell here to keep us in peace, and may your blessing be upon us always. And I just think that's a really beautiful prayer. And I also love the Memorare. That's a prayer that I have posted. Oh, something that I should have mentioned earlier, and this would, you know, definitely fall into this category too, of favorite prayers. One of the things that, one of the ways I taught myself to sort of pray often through the day was I would post little prayers in places that I was all the time, right? At my change table, at my bathroom mirror, at my sink, you know, the places where you're spending time, I would post little prayers. And I used to have them all on my fridge, on my cupboards, you know, I'd have them in the places that I was so that I would remember to pray and stop and pray. Yeah. And so, you know, if it's something you're trying to create a habit of, you know, a visual thing like that is really helpful.
Sure.
You know, or even setting a little timer on your phone, right? You know, beep, beep, oh, I'll just say a quick little prayer. And, you know, your prayer can be so short, right? Like, Lord, help me, please, right now.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I think really helpful tools for me in the beginning, for sure.
Right. So what's your opinion? Because there's, I love the Angelus. It's really beautiful. It's simple. Mm-hmm. It's short. But I feel like when I set my timer for it, you know, for noon to pray, I'm always in the middle of something that I can't just stop.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm trying to teach the kids it, and I don't have it memorized actually. But is there really a time constraint? Like, do you have to pray at noon, or can you just, all right, lunchtime?
Well, I don't think it's a sin to ever pray the Angelus. So that's one thing. So we, when we go, it's, and the Angelus is one of those prayers that kind of comes in and out during the school year. We're pretty good about praying the Angelus every day, and we just pray it before we eat. Right. Yeah. So we pray the Angelus, then we say grace, then we eat. Right. Yeah. So rather than, but I do know people who set their timer and they pray it at noon.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things that I think of it as a pausing prayer, you know, when we pause. And, so, you know, but I don't think God will be mad at us if we pray it at 1:30 instead of noon. I'm pretty sure.
I'm one of those people that I'm kind of overly scrupulous, and it's like, okay, you're supposed to pray this at noon. Does that mean you can only pray it?
Well, and again, for Protestant listeners, the Angelus is this beautiful, very, very old prayer. And in the old days, they would stop. People would pray it at 6 a.m. and at noon and at 6 p.m, right? So it would coincide with mealtime generally. But you will know, be familiar with the painting. There's a painting by a French painter, Millet, of the people standing in a field with their heads bowed. Okay, so they're like in a wheat field and their heads are bowed and they're stopping. They can hear the bells of the church and they're stopping in the middle of their harvest and praying the Angelus. So that's a really famous painting. It's called the Angelus. So if you didn't know what the Angelus was, it wouldn't make sense to you, but you'll be familiar with the painting. Most people will be familiar with it because it's well known, right?
Yeah.
And we have a little Angelus statue in our yard that's really beautiful, that of a saint, you know, the figure of somebody stopping and pausing to pray in the middle of harvest, right?
Yeah. You'll have to post that. I love statues.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've got a kind of a statue thing.
Yeah.
I wish I had more.
I'm so picky. We want a Mary garden statue, but we saw one the other day at our farmer's market, but the face was just
not right.
Yeah. And I know that sounds terrible, but at the same time, like, it's important.
Yeah.
You know, the features, I.
So was that the one more question? Oh, the one more question was about, do I have any favorite
prayers?
So I would say that's one of them for sure. We also had a set of family prayers that we used to pray at night. We found for years and years and years, we found the rosary really hard to do as a family, right? Mm-hmm. Not that we never did it, but we just found that, you know, when the kids were small and climbing all over us and all of that. So that was more something we established as our kids got older.
Sure.
But we prayed family prayers. And so it was actually a man in our parish who put together kind of a set of family prayers. And I'm not sure what the source was that he used. But they were all sort of a series of short prayers that covered a lot of different sort of topics in our spiritual life. And the kids each led one of the prayers.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they were short. They took maybe, you know, 6 or 7 minutes to say this set of prayers. And our kids really enjoyed them, and they enjoyed leading their own particular prayer.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was kind of a fun thing to do. If I can find them, I might just take snapshots of the pictures, and include them if I can. Mm-hmm. And they were really lovely prayers. So I'll share those as well.
Yeah. And I, my mother-in-law had a bunch of prayers for my husband and his siblings during the day. Like they'd pray prayers in the morning and at lunchtime. Yeah. And I'll email her and ask her to, if she can list them, and I can share those in the show notes as well. Cause okay. They're great. I think, one of them is like a prayer for purity, which is just beautiful right. for kids. My kids are still too young right now in terms of memorizing it. I think probably in about a year or two, we'll probably introduce yeah. that to them. But that one's great.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there you go. Just building on
right.
Right. You know,
yeah.
I know once I sometimes come up with a prayer and a new prayer that I would like to memorize. You know, we just started doing the Canticle of Zechariah. It's okay. part of the Magnificat prayers. Right.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, my daughter had it memorized in like, you know, a week.
Yeah.
Just by saying it, she just naturally memorizes things. And I'm struggling and struggling. I thought, okay, you know what? I can memorize this. I can do this. But it's a lot more work at my age yeah. than yeah. it is for her. And, you know, but, you know, just, okay, just focus on it. Give yourself time. If it takes you a month, it takes you a month.
Right.
You know, and don't put any pressure on yourself. Just keep at it. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so this is a couple months away, but there's the prayer to St. Andrew starting mm-hmm. on, is it the day after Thanksgiving or does it start December 1st? I think it's the 25 day novena. It's a really short prayer.
Okay.
But I think it, you have to pray it a couple times a day. I'll share it around then.
Sure.
It's really beautiful. I just am never able to complete it.
Okay. 25 is a long day, a lot of days. Okay, so next week we're actually interviewing somebody who's a friend of mine, who I met in real life, and she's absolutely lovely. Her name is Teresa, and she's a homeschool coach, which is something fairly new to her. She's a longtime homeschooler. But I wanted to kind of explore what does that actually mean. I've been asked several times to do coaching, which I've sort of done, you know, a little bit, but it's not something that I want to, you know, I mean, you could work that into a full-time job in a sense. And I didn't want to be able to be putting myself in a position where I was taking that much time up when I still have, you know, people at home, I'm homeschooling. So, but she's somebody that I would, you know, trust with my heart and soul because we really sort of have a very similar vision. So I'm really looking forward to interviewing her next week. So yeah, if you're interested in that topic, tune in for sure.
That's
about what homeschooling is, what people try to accomplish, how it can help you.
Great.
Right. And so yeah, keep sending your questions in. We'll just stockpile them.
Yeah. And we still have a couple we haven't talked about yet. So if okay. you send it in, hang tight.
Okay. Yes, we will get to it. Okay. Well, take care, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.